Let me set the record straight for a minute. Hate, I get it, say it with him. I don't give a f- I'm cool with it. Play a peep the fans with him.
It's time to grab a drink and some headphones because it is time for the Hot Stove, the best Canadian Premier League Twitter space, and hopefully soon the best Twitter space for the Northern Super League as well, brought to you by the Capital City Supporters Group. Tonight, we'll look back briefly on last Saturday's 3-0 win over Forge, and then we'll look ahead to the two matches coming up real quick. That's our trip out to Pacific FC for the final leg of the Canadian Championship quarterfinals, and the Halifax Wanderers will be meandering their way up to the Capital on Sunday for match week 8 of the Canadian Premier League. My name is John Hopkins, and I'll be one of your hosts tonight, and I'm joined by fellow CCSG member and now becoming a regular co-host on the Hot Stove, Isaac. Isaac, great to have you. How are you?
I'm doing good, you know, John. Obviously coming off a wonderful weekend, and now we're getting back into the swing of things here. Can't wait to dive into this one.
As usual, it wouldn't be a Hot Stove without a couple of technical difficulties to start off. So it seems I can't hear Isaac, but if you can, I'll let him take it away on a couple of elements to get us started.
Obviously, some quick housekeeping before we get into it. If this is your first Hot Stove, here's a quick breakdown on how the show works. We have turned this into a proper radio show where each week we have two hosts to discuss questions about this week's upcoming matches before turning to the audience before their thoughts, opinions, and hot takes. Instead of calling in, though, if you'd like to talk, it's classroom rules over here, so just raise your hand, hit the request to talk button in order to join in on the conversation. Raising your hand also lets us know that you have something to add on a given topic in order to ensure we hear from everyone and we don't put folks on the spot too much. And also for 2024, the Hot Stove will be live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. with the special exception for the Canadian Championship games like tonight.
For 2024, the Hot Stove will be live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. with a special exception for the Canadian Champion Games like tonight, where we will host on Tuesday nights to preview any future matchup. For any other updates, be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CapitalCitySG.
And if you happen to miss the Hot Stove, have no fear because we are now going to be posting the Hot Stoves as a podcast on all your favorite platforms, Spotify, Apple, Google, you name it, it's there. Thursday mornings, make sure to check them to listen to the recorded Hot Stove from the night before. Now, before we get into the show, we have a few announcements to make. Become a CCSG member today. $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, first access to road trips, exclusive merch, and more. And if you're a student, you'll get a $5 discount, bringing it down to $15. If you're already a member, make sure to regularly check our members-only page on our website and to check the announcements channel on our Discord for the latest news.
While you're on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writers team. We have the Forward Press summarizing all pre- and post-game pressers, match day in review for those days you want to relive or that you miss, and of course, the return of our weekly player ratings so you can see how each player did on the day.
And the writers aren't the only ones cooking up content. Our social media team has been working hard as the team's putting together full-time. We have new episodes every Thursday following a home game to share reactions from our fans after each match. We also have ATO After the Whistle, which is our weekly podcast breaking down the game of the week. In this case, it will be Games of the Week, answering your questions. The next episode, which would normally have dropped this morning covering the Forge game, has been pushed to Friday, so hopes Johnny and Joey can give you the best analysis of the Pacific game as well.
And finally, the Glebe Central Pub is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season. Join us there all season long for pre-game, post-game, all the drinks that you need. And be sure to come out to our watch parties there. We will be there on tomorrow night at 10 p.m. for the late kickoff of the CanChamp fixture. So call into work, let them know you'll be late, and we will see you there. That's at the Glebe Central Pub, 779 Bank Street in, you guessed it, the Glebe. So come on down, and we hope to see you there.
Another reminder that if you'd like to talk today, please hit the Request to Speak button to join in all the fun today. And, of course, to raise your hand if there's a topic of interest that you would like to chime in on.
All righty. So, Isaac, we're coming off a massive win this past weekend. We dismantled the reigning champ 3-0 while they were licking their wounds from their win against CF Montreal. We had Manny Aparicio opening up the game with an absolute screamer from outside the 18, followed by what I'd say is a perfect delivery from Bassett, which found the head of Zapater with a perfect finish as the game got into the later moments. And of course, Ruben Del Campo scoring for his fifth game straight, locking in all 3 points for Ottawa. What were your thoughts on our matchup against Forge?
Well, for starters, I can't remember the last time I left TD Place with that wide of a smile. I mean, just everything from the vibes of the dub to the $2 hot dogs, everything just seemed to be going in our way. And we whooped them. I tried so hard to honestly find something to nitpick, to complain about for feedback. But to be honest, it was just a complete 90 minutes from the entire squad, obviously starting off with Manny's piss missile from outside the 18. Zapater's header off the lovely ball from Bassett. And, of course, the third goal that extended RDC's goal streak to 5 games off a lovely through ball from Marer. I feel like this is just the beginning of just our boys coming into their own, gelling, learning how to play with each other, and I feel like we're starting to hit our peak in terms of performance.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I think is a key kind of game in ATO fandom, kind of like the 7-0 win at Valor, if a little bit less impressive in scoreline, nonetheless very impressive in terms of performance. It really felt incredibly complete in a lot of different ways. We managed to keep the clean sheet, which is really a credit to Yesley's goaltending. He has done an absolute phenomenal job standing in for Ingham, who we'll talk a little bit about later in the show. But for now, Bryce, welcome to the show. What were your thoughts on last week's game?
I think last week's game went as I expected it to, just because we know how hard Forge played on that Wednesday when they beat CF Montreal. We knew if there was any time for us to take it to them, it was going to be last weekend. So I'm very happy that they played to my expectation. I think that's something we were hoping that they continue to score. We were hoping that they'd be able to continue to push their pedal to the floor in those games. And we were hoping that they would win the games that they should win. And that was definitely a game I thought that they should win, given the form they were in, given how they've been playing lately. And so I'm really hoping that this continues. I'm hoping that they keep that momentum and go into tomorrow night's game with that same kind of passion. But I mean, I am going to remind everybody that on the hot stove last week, I did say that I expected Alberto Zapater to get his third goal of the season. Sure, it's his very first CPL goal, but you know. One thing that is just fascinating to see is our set pieces this year, and to see that he has struck gold on 3 of those is just fantastic.
Absolutely. And it's something where, you know, watching highlights of Zapater in the past, I'm always like, oh man, imagine if that Gore Scholer played for us today. So it's really fun to see that payoff and see those flashes of talent. He really brings to the squad every game. But just those little moments where he's able to be the difference maker really put a smile on my face for one of our captains. Harry, welcome to the show. What did you think of that Forge performance?
Hello, everyone. Harry Hussein here, professional drummer, host of the hit show full time. I don't really remember the game. I was just speechless the entire time. I think Bryce is absolutely right. We played them at just the right time. But also, I think we've been crying out for the last few weeks about getting the balance of the team right, not playing all of our stars at the same time. And I think with the switch to Antonoro on the left, Zapater being rested so that we're not playing all of our center midfield players at the same time, it just clicked. And we got them at the right time. And the confidence that this result, the team are going to take moving forwards to this weekend's game at Pacific against a team like Halifax, who we play on the weekend on Sunday. Like the stars are really aligning for our team at the moment. So couldn't be happier. There's not much more you can say about that when you're beating comfortably a team that you've never been able to beat at home before. So vamos.
It's a beautiful feeling, and I hope that everyone got to stop by and chat with you a little bit. You might notice I've switched to the John Hopkins speaker simply because, again, technical issues. You love to have them.
They seem to be every week on this beautiful platform. So we roll, though. We roll on. Jeff, I know you're a Pacific fan, but did you have any thoughts on last week's game before we turn our face to the future and to our matchup down in your neck of the woods?
I feel like my thoughts about the Ottawa game were, uh-oh, because Aparicio scored a goal and he's not suspended. And Del Campo is playing well. Yesley is playing well. So not only have you guys recruited well enough that people were talking about the salary cap, but also other players have seemingly improved and not been injured, like Tiso, etc. And we get to play you tomorrow, so that'll be fun.
I'm very much looking forward to it, and it sounds like you are too. Before we move on to covering that game in a little more detail, I got to ask you, do you think that Manny Aparicio getting fewer cards now that he's been playing with us, knock on wood, of course, what do you take that as an insult, as a point of pride, or how do you kind of take that?
I feel like the arc I saw is in 2022, he was the best player in the league, but he only played half the games and part of that was cards. In 2023 for us, he held back a little, and I don't think he was as effective as a player, but I feel like I should probably credit Carlos Gonzalez and how you guys are playing him, because there seems to be a balance in terms of he is not getting cautioned as much, and he seems to be producing at sort of a best-in-the-league kind of rate.
You know, it's about getting the most out of your players fundamentally. And I think it's something that Cargo has really, really succeeded on this year, particularly something that I'll mention again before we jump into the PC thing. I highly recommend people check out the Forward Press that's available on our website at capitalcitysupporters.com. It is a great piece that discusses the press conference between Coach Carlos Gonzalez and obviously members of the media. And one of the things he talks a little bit about is the fact that Danny Morer is playing more of the winger role while Chris Twardek has really been playing that right back role. We're coming in, we are expecting Chris to play this high up winger role. And of course, on the tin, it says that Morer was most likely to play at right back. So it's interesting the way that he has adjusted at based on what he's seen, his tactical system, especially because there's a lot of doubt in his ability to do so after that strategically we kind of stagnated a little bit last year. So full credit to him on all of that. And I'm sure we'll have plenty more to discuss when we get there. But now that we've left the Forge game in the rear view, let's turn to this week's matchups. First game of the week under the Wednesday night lights, the lads are heading out to beautiful BC to go where no ATO team has gone before, that is booking their ticket to the CanChamp semifinals. Before we get to that, though, we have to get through Pacific FC. We hope you'll be there at the pub to watch the game. If not, you'll be out there in Langford enjoying the game in person. This will be the third time that we face off against Pacific this year, with the first having being our leg one matchup in CanChamp at home, which resulted in a 0-0 draw, leaving zero goals in the current accumulative score for the game. The second being a regular season away match, where unfortunately Pacific seemed absolutely cursed with injuries as their turf seemed to betray them and take down as many Pacific players as possible. And we managed to walk away there from what seemed like a disastrous game for Pacific with just a 1-0 victory. And now we're back in Victoria for all the CanChamp marbles. They're coming off of a 2-1 loss to Vancouver FC on Saturday in the first Sailor Sea Derby of the year, and we also got confirmation that unfortunately defensive star Alien Dome will be out for the rest of the season with an injury to his Achilles. Isaac, what are you expecting out of this match on Wednesday?
I'm expecting a lot of similarities between in this game, like going back to leg one, it was a fairly, from what I remember, it was a fairly back and forth match. I mean, honestly, I went into leg one just hoping we weren't going to concede an away goal, which we didn't. So that puts the odds in our favor, honestly, especially if we can get a goal. I think just with the momentum carrying from the weekend, I'm optimistic that we're going to go into tomorrow and continue that momentum and book our ticket to the semis. Like I said, not conceding that away goal is huge for us. So it kind of takes off that kind of little bit of added pressure on our shoulders. But yeah, certainly looking forward to it. And again, I'm expecting us to book our ticket.
It certainly does take a huge weight off the lad's shoulders, given that now any draw, as long as there's a goal involved, moves us on. So it definitely gives a little bit more room for error in terms of score, but we still have to get the job done. We still need to go walk away with either that win or that draw with some goals to our name. And I think that the defensive front that Pacific has put on has been very strong this year. But without Ndome, I'm curious, Jeff, do you think you're going to see more of a shift towards more and more midfield play and less of that kind of low block defensive first strategy that has been employed to start the year, simply because I'm not sure the defense is as organized without him?
I feel like I'm pretty bad at guessing our tactics. I kind of hope we stick to generally what we've been doing so far this season. We didn't really against Vancouver, but also we were a little more aggressive against York, so maybe we thought there was a chance to exploit there. But it's basically how we've organized ourselves all year, and so even though we don't have Ndome, Lajeunesse and Amadou may have had a little bit of time to learn the system, and I think against Ottawa at home after losing. So, I don't know. I think maybe a little more aggressive, but I think we'll kind of get the same thing, because in that first match, a setup that would work and always have an open pass to not open for the counter.
Yeah, and one thing that will also encourage that aggression is that away goal differential, because there was no away goals. It's going to be a win and you're in sort of situation for Pacific if we manage only one goal. So it's very much a must win for Pacific if there's any goals to be had on Wednesday night. Talking a little bit about our record against Pacific, Ottawa is 5 wins, 6 draws, and 5 losses all time against Pacific. We've managed to score 15 goals against them, but they've managed 18 against us. But really what these stats tell us is that these are two teams that are historically very tight in their competitions and in their battles. Pacific and Ottawa have had a growing rivalry as the teams have faced off in big games, really stemming back to the 2022 semifinal, where Ottawa won and moved on to the final after what seemed to be the strategy that Pacific is hoping for out of this year. And we're kind of hoping that history is repeating itself to the same result. Isaac, how do you think the hard run of games we faced as part of leg one has prepared the boys physically and mentally for a short week with so much at stake? Are we looking at another increase in pressure, or have we just kind of reached a point where we're thriving under pressure and this is just the status quo?
I honestly just feel like it's the status quo. I mean, we've played pretty well under pressure. Like you said, we've been thriving off it the last few games, you know, coming into games where a lot of the nerds and naysayers are saying that, oh, this is the first true test. Oh, this is another test. Like, all that being said, and we're proving them wrong. So, I mean, I see no excuse into how tomorrow can go. I mean, it could go either way. We could go and keep doing what we can be doing, or we can, you know, not do what we want the guys to do tomorrow. So, I don't really know what to say really on that kind of front, because it's tough to gauge if we just know how to play under pressure or we just haven't reached the level of pressure yet that could sewer us.
And look, I've been one of those nerds saying, oh, this is our first real test for the past what feels like 3 to 4 weeks of games. So, you know, as someone going off on and on about that, I think it's key to realize that the mentality of the team and where they're at has only looked incredibly positive from the sidelines. And that's something that I think we can really look forward to out of this game, is hopefully approaching this game with that form, that mentality that has given us that success in these past few games. We'll pass it over to you, Bryce. How are you feeling about this matchup? What are you expecting? And do you think that this is another step up for us, or just the status quo at this point?
Sorry, I'm actually going to pass it to Harry. He did have his hand up first, so just make sure you come back to me after Harry.
All right, I promise I'll come back to you. Harry, the mic's all yours. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I actually want to... I'm glad it looks like Jeff has left the chat room, because, look, Pacific aren't even going to make the playoffs this year. This is some real talk right now. They basically built up a system where, because they didn't recruit well after Digits left, I mean, you can argue, and Dom came in, has done a really good job, but he's gone now. And Aparicio's gone. They've decided that the way they're going to skate through the season is by keeping things tight. Unfortunately, that plan has backfired for them. The reason it's backfired is they cannot score any goals. They can't score any goals, and they are in a situation where they absolutely are going to have to push the game a little bit more, because we are going to score against them. And we're going to score against them because their best centre half is out. If I was a Pacific player right now, I'd be sort of in two minds where we are during the season, where our season's going, because we're not scoring any goals. It's starting to get easier to score against us. And with York bringing in a new manager, with all of these other teams starting to find a little bit of a foothold in the league, I can see Pacific dropping like a stone in water. I don't think we've got anything to worry about. I think we're going to go there and do a job comfortably. Doesn't matter if we rotate our squad or not. It doesn't matter if Pacific put on the pitch. They're not going to be a match for us. We are a confident team, beating one of the best teams in the league, comfortably 3-0. Pacific are just pretty much there to open the door for us to an MLS or a Ford semifinal. That's my thoughts on that.
If only I could have your confidence in life, Harry, I'd be so much more successful. Truly.
It's because you don't believe, John.
Oh, I believe, but I'm nervous. I'm always sweating. And, you know, it's a cautious optimism I like to have to protect my heart a little bit, because I do think that while Pacific are definitely on a slide, and you're right that their defensive form is slipping and their offensive form remains the second worst in the league, they're tied with Valor for that honor, with Halifax having scored two less goals than they did, sitting down at four for the number one spot, and we'll talk about them a little bit later. I do think this can be a bit of a trap game. It is a short week. We're traveling a pretty far distance. You know, there is some risk here, and I don't want to be too confident in that semifinal until we come home with those wins secured. But I'll turn it over to you, Bryce. What are your thoughts on the week? And do you think this is another step up in pressure, or is this the status quo?
I think you need to bump up your confidence in the way this game is going to go tomorrow. Because I'm going to remind you about that last game here in the first leg. Because, yeah, that game could have gone either way. They had chances. We had chances. But I need you to remember that we don't know if Nate's going to start tomorrow, but he's healthy again. But he didn't start in that first leg. Yeah, that was Yesley's first start in the CAN Champ game. I'm going to remind you who else was on the bench to start that game. Balu Tabla, who is the usual starter for this team. Alberto Zapater was on the bench, and he's been playing pretty well lately. And Ruben Del Campo was also on the bench to start that first leg. And that guy has scored in five straight CPL games. So there's a reason to be optimistic that we slide a couple of those guys into our starting lineup, that this game starts out a whole lot differently than that other game. And I think that we can afford to be on the front foot to start this game. We know that away goals matter, and we just need one of them to already be up in that category. So I think that we're going to start on fire tomorrow. I think this game is going to be over early.
I hope so. A 10 p.m. Eastern Standard start is always rough So having a little bit of comfort to go into bed with would be absolutely delightful. But you mentioned Nathan Ingham, so let's talk a little bit about our starting keeper options. As reported in the Forward Press, Nathan Ingham is once again available to cargo for a potential starting 11, and I'm absolutely positive he is chomping at the bit to get back in action. In his absence, though, yes, he has been a very steady presence in net, collecting 5 clean sheets across all competitions. Now, the big question I have here, Isaac, is should Nate walk back into the starting position, or do we ride the hot hands of Yesley for a while more? And we're also dealing with the Canadian Championship and the regular season this week. So which do you think is better to reintroduce Ingham into the squad with?
I feel like it's better to reintroduce him with the game of the league on the weekend against Halifax. I mean, it's no knock on Halifax whatsoever, but I feel like with tomorrow having some major impact on the line with the chances of us playing in a semifinal either against Forge or an MLS opponent, I feel like I've always been someone who's always gone with whatever what's hot until the flame burns out, and that's what I think we should handle it. Like I said, it's not a knock on Halifax or anything, but I feel a lot more comfortable with Ingham getting back into the swing of things with that game rather than tomorrow.
Yeah, I really agree. I think that giving Ingham a little bit more time to reintegrate himself, to get back into the chemistry of the team, is probably wise, especially given so much is on the line with this game against Pacific. But I'd love to hear other people's thoughts. Harry, what do you think? Do you think Nate's walking back in, or is Yedley in for a while?
Yeah, I'll bounce it back very quickly to yourself, John. Do you think that Sam Salter should start as a striker for cup games, or should Ruben Del Campo play every game? Answer that, and I'll answer the Yesley Ingham question.
A tit for tat, I'll take it. And I'll preface this with, I think that strikers are very different from goalkeepers in a number of ways. But I think one thing they both have in common is when they are in great form, you want to make sure you're keeping them on the field. So I think with both Sam Salter and Nate, I would keep them on the sidelines a little while longer to ride those hot hands of Yesley and Del Campo. So I'm curious your thoughts.
That's exactly how I feel. I think, in all honesty, Nate is sitting on the bench until Yesley makes a mistake. And Yesley has not only put a number of stops in that maybe Nate would have put in, but what he offers differently is his distribution. His distribution is a lot better. I was speaking to a friend who knows something about goalkeepers within the ATO setup, hush hush, wink wink, and the thing that he talked about at the start of the season was how Yesley is probably a very, very, you know, he's at the level of Nate, but maybe his feet weren't in as good a position as Nate gets into his feet. But I haven't seen that from Yesley at all. He's looked very, very confident. I hate the idea now of Nate coming back from an injury and Yesley having to sit down in the league. I think that's completely unfair. We bought him in as a keeper who was contesting for the number one spot. And if you take him out of that role and you bring Ingham back in, you effectively said, no, actually, we haven't really bought you in as a true number one competition. You are our number two. So I don't see the point of that. Yesley's doing a great job. It's very clear that our defense likes playing in front of him. Ingham, you know, he's got to sit the bench. He's got to make some lovely cocktails, sit down, enjoy ATO absolutely smashing every single team in the league at the moment, and just bite a while.
Yeah, and something I really appreciate about Nate is his leadership. And good leadership kind of comes with being able to push your competition hard and getting them to give the best they can to the team and offering your best to the team without that kind of anger and build up at being slighted. I think that there is some level of understanding there, and especially given, you know, the Halifax game has a lot lower stakes. There's a chance we see him back there, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him ride the bench for a little while and really keep encouraging the guys from the bench to really get the best out of them and continue to improve himself. I think something that's great about All-State Nate, as it were, is his ability to kind of rise to competition. So I'm hopeful to see both him and Yesley really drive that forward. Christian, what are your thoughts?
You know, obviously, I agree with both you and Harry. Yesley has been definitely deserving of a starting spot, especially given his recent performances, team of the week, distribution, everything. And given the way Ottawa has been playing, I think his distribution up from the back is key to the attack. And that kind of piggybacks into the next part. I think Sammy Salter, as much as I love him, as much as I'm the champion of the Sammy Salter fan club, you know, we can't discredit Ruben Del Campo's form. So I'd like to see both him and Yesley keep starting. So the form and the performances they've both been putting in is truly mesmerizing. And honestly, it's what I'd like to see, especially coming back into the game against Pacific when you look at how we played against them last time at the Starlight. Both of those two players were key to the offense. So
I'm right there with you. Bryce, I see your hand up. What are your thoughts?
Oh, usually you put the hands down after you call on us, but you didn't this time. So I don't ask me an actual question because I can't remember exactly what you want me to do.
No worries. Again, my laptop's having technical issues, so the hands up might have been lingering from the last one. But essentially the question is, when do we bring Nate back into the starting 11? Does he supplant Yesley with the success Yesley has had?
So here's the thing. It seemed like when this started, it was Yesley playing the Canadian Championship, right? Getting a game early to get him in the mood for it, and then in the Can Champ. So I don't see a huge issue if we do bring Nate back earlier than waiting for Yesley to make a mistake. But I do understand that whoever is number one should be in that spot. And this isn't just how well they play at games, right? These guys are in practice every day. They're in training every day. They know who is playing better or who is most likely to play better on any given day. I don't know if you guys noticed, but after the game on the weekend, Nate put in a good 10 minutes behind the net, in front of the net, with trainers and everything else. So he was getting a little bit of the semi-game action on the pitch after that game. So I know he's working hard in practice. If they see him and think that he's the better one to win tomorrow night, he plays tomorrow night. If not, what better team than Halifax to try and see if he's back to being his normal self? Like, bring him in for that game on the weekend against one of the teams that's scoring the most pitiful amount of goals right now, and let him play in that game to see where he's at.
Yeah, and I think the real blessing, you know, I've heard one soccer talk about how cursed we are to have two great keepers in competition with each other for the drama or whatever. But at the end of the day, I think we're truly blessed with both of these guys between the sticks. They're both incredibly talented. And fortunately, it doesn't feel like there's a strictly wrong answer, just one that's going to be informed by those training sessions and those recent performances. So I'm feeling confident no matter who's between the sticks. But let's talk a little bit about that opposition. You know, Pacific's backline, of course, has gone through a lot of turmoil, as we've discussed, with the loss of Allan Dome. So it feels like now is really the time to feast upon what was only 2 weeks ago, a team without a goal against them to a CPL side, and really bring the hammer down. Isaac, do you think Pacific has begun to patch any of those holes that have been left with his departure? And who else on Pacific is really a threat that we need to be looking out for?
Well, I'm not really familiar with Pacific's roster, so I'm not one to answer that question, but I'll answer your other question, though. Kind of like what Harry... I'm going to touch up a bit on what Harry said earlier, but I'm not going to go nearly as far as he did. But I don't think they've really started to patch anything. It's still quite early to tell if they patched anything, because
They've only, like, outside of the game they lost to us and suffered all those injuries, they only had the Vancouver game. So to me, it's kind of unfair to kind of judge where Pacific's at. But again, if someone who knows more wants to educate me, please do.
Well, I can jump in a little bit there and pretend I'm very educated. I'll put on my glasses for this bit. Really, I think there's a number of elements that we have to be aware of with this Pacific team. The first is that they also have a very comfortable keeper position. You know, our former number two, Sean Melvin, who we are quite fond of in his time in Ottawa, is now their number two. Of course, Gaz Dov remains one of the top keepers in the league as a U21 player. You have big kind of names like Sean Young in the midfield and Eamon Salouf, neither of which I feel like have really reached their production at this point. I think there's more they can give, but we just haven't quite seen really what they can provide. I continue to be both impressed and frustrated by Kunle Dadaluk. He is a player that on both sides of the ball can really cause headaches for teams. I'm sad that we let the little Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle go way back in 2020. It would have been great to keep him here in the Capital and have him in our arsenal. But he remains one of the better wingbacks in the league, in my opinion. Of course, you still have defenders like Thomas Meyer-Jaguer, who do provide a little bit more of that stability, and Eric Lajeunesse, who is also kind of filling in very well in the defender spot. I believe he's still a youth sports player, which does present some longer-term questions. And of course, I think there's two other kind of offensive players to maybe keep in mind, and that is Dario Zanata, and of course, a name familiar to many, Zacharia Bahous. While Bahous does show some of the, we'll say, thorny mistakes that he made when he was with us, he has been generating a good number of chances, especially positionally, and Zanata has as well, to really keep them in conversation as threats. Now, that being said, you know, I've listed a number of players there. How those players are playing together and their overall effectiveness has not been at the level that I've just kind of given them praise for. They still need to prove they can have that consistency in order to really, you know, elevate the team and get the team to a more positive place, given Ali's injury. And one more player to mention before I kick it over to Harry, of course, is Rayon Moore, who's been out of action due to a suspension for a red card. So, Harry, is there anybody you're worried about on Pacific?
No. No, I think, like, when you were going through the list of players, I was like, who haven't I thought of? And you're like, Sean Young. And I'm like, wow, I'm pretty sure Sean Young's injured. And then you said Melvin. And I was like, well, not really worried about him. Gazdov, yeah, whatever. Legionnaire, like, young player, hasn't got any goals. Zanata, I think Zanata, like, was an absolute fraud in Scottish football. I think he scored, like, 4 goals in his entire career. Just something insane like that. When I saw him play against us, like, he had one chance, and he just, like, just up in front of it, when the net's in front of him, just like absolutely bottled it. Dadaluk just runs in straight lines. Fraud. Who else is there? Cedric Toussaint. He's a brawler. He should be in prison. Fraud. There's no one to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. You guys need to, like, literally listen to the conversation that you're having, trying to draw out some sort of threat that you believe Pacific are going to create, because they're not creating any threat. We're going to go to Pacific tomorrow. We're in the semifinals, guys. Relax. Everything is good. You know, don't even watch the game. Wake up in the morning. Have a coffee. Just stick it on. Oh, check the results. Oh, yeah, we won 7-0. Yeah, 2-7-0 results in the cup. It's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Have a great night. I'll see you soon. I'll see you on the Halifax game. All the best, guys.
Oh, see, now I'm just going to relax. It's going to be much quieter show. We'll slow it down. Christian, welcome to the chill zone where we're not worried about anything. Who are you worried about from Pacific?
I'll remind people not to go to bed before the game. Come out to the GCP to come and watch the game with us. But, you know, obviously Pacific aren't that great attacking, and I will agree with Harry that Zanata has not looked the player that I think PFC fans have made him out to be, or even the Romanian Messi Turco Viano. Their attack is going to struggle a lot. I think the loss of their players with injury, like Ali and Dom, is obviously the biggest miss. But I think that there's a lot to be said for their defensive efforts still. I know I don't think he's been mentioned yet, but I've mentioned him on every single hot stove I think I've been on talking about Pacific. Eric Lajeunesse, I know the PFC fans love him as well, but I think that kid could be a serious defender in the CPL years to come. But past that, you know, I think Rion Moore isn't suspended for the CanChamp, so I think he'll be back. But past that, you know, I don't really think we have anyone to be worried about. And if we play the way that we did in the Starlight the last time, Ruben Del Campo is going to go off. We're going to maybe see some chances from our wingers. And I think we'll boss the midfield again. So there's no one I'm really worried about.
Oh, Hakuna Matata. It means no worries. We'll pass it over to you, Bryce. Do you have any worries to share?
What? All this talk about Eric Lajeunesse, I just want to point out that I do know his family pretty good, at least his uncle and his cousins. I know them pretty well, curled with them for years. And I usually like to give some kind of preview of some TIFOs when we have these hot stoves. But tonight, I'm going to put a photo of Eric's dad with some hot dogs that he was enjoying at the game last week, because the Lajeunesses do come and watch all of our games. They are ATO fans. They only cheer against us when Eric's in town.
Well, you heard it here first, Eric. Your parents want you to come home, and so do we. So once you finish up that degree, Ottawa's always waiting for you to welcome you home. And with that, we're going to move into a bit of an announcement break. Be sure to follow us on all our socials at Capital City SG. We've got a social media team that is absolutely bumping, making sure to pump out tons of great content. So be sure to follow us on socials to keep up to date with all the news and enjoy the best that that team has to offer.
Also, another reminder to become a CCSG member today. $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, first access to road trips, exclusive merch, and more. And if you're a student, you get that sweet $5 discount, so that'll be get brought down to $15. And if you are already a member, please make sure to check our members only page on our website and check the announcements channel on our Discord for the latest CCSD news.
We will have updates coming for road trips that should be on sale very, very soon. So be sure to keep an eye on that website. And be sure to join us at the Glebe Central Pub for pregame pints, chats, and of course, watch parties. That's right. We will be there at 10 p.m. for the kickoff against Pacific. So be sure to come by to the GCP, CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season. That's at the Glebe Central Pub, 779 Bank Street. And we will also hope to see you there Sunday for a couple of pre- and post-game drinks to keep these conversations going and really make the most of it. Even if you're extra relaxed like Harry, nothing relaxes you like kicking back with the friends and watching a beautiful game of footy. So let's get back to the show. I think we've really said all there is to say about this Canadian championship matchup. I think that it's now time we turn to our next home game, which is coming up fast on Sunday. Let's take a look at those East Coast hooligans from Halifax. They're currently sitting at the bottom of the CPL table, albeit with a game in hand on Valor, who sits above them by 3 points. But Valor does have the worst goal differential, so it is possible they overtake, however unlikely it is. Arguably the worst team in the league at the moment. They're boasting the fewest goals of any side at 4, while also being tied for the second worst defense. They share that with York United, having conceded 11 goals. Honestly, Halifax has really been struggling this year, and it feels like in a short week like this, it's really creating a bit of a trap game for Ottawa. Isaac, what are you expecting from this match on Sunday?
You know, I'm going to keep up with the theme today. I have no worries. I mean, Halifax, though they do show some glimpses of life, those glimpses only turn out to fool us.
I think it's a good opportunity for to get in some U21 minutes. I think that's what I'm looking more for on Sunday. I think that it's a great opportunity for other players to step up, like Sammy Salter, to name a few. I mean, again, I'm relaxed. I'm not worried. I think, though it could be a trap game, I don't think it will be. I think we'll do what we've been doing to teams all year and invite them over to TD Place, spank them, then they leave.
Man, I wish my anxiety was at the level of all the beautiful people in this call. It'd make life a lot easier. Christian, how are you feeling about the Halifax game on Sunday?
John, Halifax are so bad. Sammy Salter is going to score a hat trick against them this Sunday or Saturday, whenever we play them. You know, it doesn't really matter. Sammy Salter is, he's fired up against his former club. Halifax suck. They have not looked good in any of their games this year. They've scraped by on a couple draws, you know, a couple nice goals here and there, but we won't give those kind of chances. You know, Yesley is not the same kind of keeper that lets in those Pro Bowl headers, but I don't know. We're gonna destroy them on whenever we play them. I don't know if someone's gonna remind me, but we will be there. But man, Halifax, just everyone was talking about them this year, about the transfers they made, the coaching staff, and the tactics, the formations, whatever. It doesn't really matter because they're bottom of the league and they still haven't won a game. You know, they look worse than Valor, and that really says something about their team. So I'm excited for the game. And like I said, they're bad enough that Sammy Salter's going to score this year. So looking forward to that.
I believe it. I hope for it. But I'm also hoping we play Ruben and that he manages to score a couple before the Sammy Salter hat trick comes in the second half. You know, it's been a rough year for a very large and boisterous fan base that isn't us. And really, I think that it's hard to be too scared of this game. I think it is a trap game where there is a level of we're traveling from Victoria and back again. Even though they're the worst team in the league, really, this is a league where on any given day, it is possible for a team to beat another, even if they're the dregs of the league like Halifax are at the moment. So I'm not ready to take it for granted just yet, but I am certainly more comfortable with our Sunday matchup than I am with Wednesday. And let's kick it over to Harry to tell me why I'm crazy for worrying at all. Harry, what are your thoughts? Oh, well, Harry figures out his mic situation. Christian's hand went back up.
I'm back.
There he is. Go ahead, Harry.
Is it possible on Sunday to field a complete 11 of under 21s and just like hit 60, 70% of our under 21 limit in one game? Because if you were going to pick a game to do that, it's definitely going to be this game on the weekend. Halifax are a shambles. They're an absolute shambles. The thing that I'm really looking forward to is seeing Halifax's goalkeeper warm up, because man, this guy is a complete liability. I think Christian's right. I think Sam Salter could score. I think if a sniper shot out both of Sam Salter's feet and he requested to play on, I think he would still score four goals against him, because they're just an absolute cluster at the moment. They can't score. They can't defend. They can't do anything. Like, if you lose against Valor, you are just diabolical. Like, Valor will score Galazzos and allow you to score four goals against them. And if you can't take that opportunity, like, I don't know. Guys, you've got to go. All of them have got to go. All of them are frauds. Like, we have nothing to worry about. Again, pour yourself a hot cocoa. Sleep. I know the game's at like 2 p.m., but just get an early night. Sleep throughout the day. Don't worry about missing the game. Nothing's going to happen. You'll wake up 25-0 ATO to Halifax. Absolute frauds, a lot of them.
I believe this is what people in the business call locker room material. I think they'll just listen to this hot stove, try and get fired up. Well, if Dan Nimmick can't energize them, I'm not sure that we can, calling them frauds. But at the end of the day, I think this is going to be one you won't want to miss, actually, because I think it's an opportunity to kind of showcase a lot of those elements that ATO has been working on and developing in that passing game, in that attacking game. So I think it's going to be another great performance to get to that you're going to want to enjoy and take in at TD. So don't take a nap like Sleepy Harry over here is recommending. Before we move on to talking a little bit more about Halifax, I see Christian, your hands up. What are your thoughts?
I just wanted to say Sleepy Harry is a great nickname, but man, I don't know what he's suggesting. Don't go to sleep for this one. Halifax are not the same team that they were last year. You know, unless Dan Nimick gets a penalty, they're not scoring. Sammy Salter is the man. And as much as I'd like to see Ruben Del Campo start again, I think this is the perfect time for Sammy Salter to get it off the ground, get a little confidence. You know, we've heard a little chitter-chatter on the Discord, on Twitter, that maybe he's not the right player for ATO, not at the right CPL level. But, man, I would just love to see him get off the mark for Ottawa this season. So I think this is the perfect game for him. So I won't say too much.
And while it is physically impossible to field a team of all U21 players, given our current roster situation with only three available U Sports contracts and BYT's also a little limited in capacity, I do think this is a good opportunity to really give some guys a rest who might need it after a short week. I loved seeing Sacco back on the pitch. I'm so sad that he didn't manage to finish that one opportunity that led to the non-call penalty on Tiso. But I'm hopeful that guys like him are going to get a chance in this game to kind of go out and perform. But I also know that Coach really likes to put the best 11 forward whenever he can. So if he feels like, you know, the other guys are up above them, then I'm not sure we'll see too many U21 players. But I've got assurances that those guys continue to impress in practice. They continue to do well. It's just a very tough competition. It's a very tough competition. And speaking of tough competitions, while this year Halifax have been, frankly, shambolic, our all-time record against them is 8 wins, 3 draws, and 6 losses. You know, we've scored 25 goals. They've managed 22 against us. So it's kind of similar to Pacific in a team that has historically matched up with us pretty well. But I think that for both Coastal games, from the sounds of it, we're feeling pretty confident going in. This is all despite the fact that Derek Martin had kind of said that he preferred the depth approach that Halifax took in the offseason in discussing how well ATO did in discussing cap and all the other chicanery that has been tossed about by other fans. Yet, Ottawa's more star-centric offerings have placed both teams on opposite ends of the table, of course, with Derek Martin's Wanderers down at the bottom. I got to ask, Isaac, do you think that really for both of these clubs, this is just a story of recruitment, or is it a story of coaching or other elements?
It's a mix of both. When you look at the whole recruiting and the naysayers about what they're saying about our star-centric offerings, sure, star-centric offerings are appealing in a big market, but these star-centered signings have all bought in. I mean, we've seen the performances from Didich, Aparicio, even Balu, even though some argue he's not in form, he's still doing some things that just make me go, wow. I mean, then you look at the Wanderers and it's just kind of crickets. It's a ghost town. Those fans over there are miserable that they've barely had any goals to cheer for, kind of like us last year. But, I mean, then if you go to the coaching, I think Patrice Geiser is definitely on that fraud watch right now because, like Harry said, they're in shambles, they're lost, there's a lot more words I could be using, but I won't go too hard on them tonight.
You know, one of the big free agents of the offseason, as described by Alex Brazier-Remek in CCSG by the numbers, which is a statistical series of articles that we have presenting some numbers about different players, identified Mo Omar as a good potential player that we should be keeping an eye on. Of course, he ended up with a USL side, likely taking a bit of a pay raise to do so. But I think they're really missing his stability and kind of his ability to challenge in the midfield and take some pressure off of that defense. And really, I think that's something that they didn't manage to fix in this offseason of recruitment. Similarly, I just don't know that I think they thought they had done a better job in the forward market in getting Valesky than they really did, given he has kind of shown in these first eight games, six games for Halifax, that he might just not be up to snuff. So still a lot of race to be run. There's a lot of time for him to turn around. But I think that really at this point, the coaching, especially with how Coach Gonzalez carries himself in comparison to Patrice, and the ways that they have handled pressure, show very different sides of the coin, as it were, in terms of how a team can be successful and what can cause its struggles. Of course, one player that will be returning in this regular season matchup is Caligari, the famed central defensive midfielder for Halifax, who has some great passing stats but little else to show for it this year. And he has really not looked like he's been back on form in this 2024 campaign. I got to ask, Isaac, is there anyone else that you're worried about?
I'm going to keep this short. No. Quite frankly, no. As much as you could say that a lot of these players are due for a revenge game, they've been due the entire season because it hasn't happened, and I don't think it will happen soon.
I really hope that we can make them wait a little longer for it and continue those woes. But at the end of the day, it's games like these that do present opportunities. And while Halifax have been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to break their slump, be it against L1 sides, be it against Valor, be it against, you know, weaker sides, I think it's something we do have to, you know, take seriously and be prepared to come out and give it our all on Sunday, even if, you know, it feels like it might be a little easier to just relax. And Harry, let's hear what you got. What do you think? Is there any worries? I think I know your answer, but I got to hear it from the beautiful British mouth.
No, just my mic is super slow. I don't know, Twitter, man. What are you going to do? You know, like, Halifax is such a just an interesting case in what can happen when your recruitment goes completely haywire during the off-season and you have a coach who just doesn't offer any sort of pragmatism. It's his way or the highway. I think a lot of that was leveled at Carlos Gonzalez last year, which I think is unfair. Like, everyone tried to say that we tried to play defensive football last year. I don't think we did. I just think we got our recruitment wrong. I think Halifax have got their recruitment so, so wrong this year. And the thing that made them really, really good was that relentless press. And you can see it in some of the players that they've brought in. They just don't want to know anymore. And I want to talk about, like, as a team mentality, when things aren't going against you, what do you do to rebound? And Halifax will be looking at this game and go, there is a chance for us to get at an Ottawa side who are playing during the midweek, who will probably make, if we, I can't even believe those words just left my mouth, when we beat Pacific, is there going to be a term that we use in England after the Lord's Mayor? Are we going to be a bit hungover from it? But I kind of think that their players, if they wanted a rebound, they could have rebounded against the defeat against CS Saint Laurent. They could have rebounded against the Valor. They just got nothing in them. Their heads are shot. There is no plan that they can execute that will cause any sort of fear in our minds. I mean, agreeing with you, I think we should put players on the pitch like Sacco, because I think Sacco is going to give them an absolute headache that they just don't want to deal with. They're frauds. They're Atlantic frauds. They're fish. They're fish in the ocean. They offer nothing except they flap. And when they come over to TD Place on Sunday and they flap, we will duly oblige and score 9 or 10 goals past them. That's what I think of Halifax. Frauds.
Oh, man, Harry. You know, it's music to my ears, this love, the confidence you exude. I can't get over it. It's a magical thing. Christian, what are your thoughts?
I mentioned earlier, Halifax don't scare me, but obviously we can't go into the game thinking we win. Obviously, we went to Halifax earlier in the season and we won, but coming back to TD Place, it's a different experience, of course. but we're undefeated at TD Place. Halifax are not the scoring threat that they were last year. I mean, obviously, Caligari is coming back, and hopefully he doesn't get red carded early in the game, but we can't count on that. But, you know, if their best player is Ryan Telfer, I'm not scared at all. You know, even if we play Zach Roy, Tier Walker, and we haven't mentioned his name yet. I don't know if we have. I joined halfway through, but Lieberman Torres is in Ottawa. He's with the team. I would love to see him get some game time at least one time, one of the games this week. You know, who knows what he's capable of, but a cup game or bottom of the league, it might be the perfect time for him to shine. So there's a million combinations that we could play in our depth that Halifax just don't have the ability or the skill to match, you know? They talk a lot about the players that came into our starting 11, but in our depth, we have players that haven't really gotten that first team start that they're capable of. You know, everyone's talked about Danny Moore wanting to get that start, especially over players like Balu Talbot. Like, people mention how creative he is, but obviously, yeah, he's creating all those chances, but he's missing a decent amount of them. But obviously, would we have those chances without him being out there? But obviously, Danny Moore has been playing very good. He's come from the same academy as, well, same academy somewhat as Balu Talbot, but he's come from the La Masia. You know, he has that play style. So there's a lot of players on our bench that, like you mentioned, Sacco, that could come off and perform. So I think in terms of depth, we have the depth for these next few games this week. So there's no troubling lineup that I'm worried about.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's something that's very underrated about our team. And part of it is that we have such big names in our 11 that you really forget a lot of those depth guys that do have a lot of talent, that do have a lot to give. And I'm hopeful that they get the opportunity throughout the season to shine, while also, knock on wood, avoiding any injuries to that top 11 and anything too pressing that we can't handle. So I'll pass it over to Isaac before we move on to our last topic, because I saw your hand shot up. Any last thoughts on Halifax before we talk about something a little special coming to the city?
Nope. Christian stole my words right out of my mouth.
He's good for that Christian. All right. So the last topic we're going to talk about before we close off our show, I know the end has come so quick. It is the official launch of the Northern Super League. Formerly Project 8, the NSL will be moving forward with 6 teams for the inaugural 2025 season, one of which will be joining the ever-growing footy landscape in the beautiful city of Ottawa. We're bringing professional women's soccer to the city. That's right, folks. Unfortunately, we don't know much about the team itself. We don't have a name. We don't have a clear point to who the ownership is. There are some speculative theories and ideas, but nothing's for certain just yet. So we're still hoping to find out a little bit more on some Ottawa-specific information, like where they'll play. But what we do know is that the league is aiming to play 25 regular season games. They're looking at a salary cap of $1.5 million, which is about $400,000 higher than the CPL. They're looking to guarantee a $50,000 minimum salary, which again is about $10,000 higher than the CPL. And they're also looking to design essentially designated player spots who can be paid as much as any team may want and only count for $75,000 against the cap. So bringing in that DP role from the MLS, presumably to bring in some of that national team talent and some big names abroad, as one thing is for sure, money goes a lot further in the women's game than it does the men's game these days. So there is a great opportunity to bring home some phenomenal talent and pay them fairly for their work. This is some of the most large-scale investment in Canadian soccer to date. And, you know, you love to see it. You want to see more about it, and I want to hear more about it. So I'm going to turn it over to each of you on your thoughts on this new Women's Pro League. We'll start with you, Isaac. What are you thinking when it comes to the NSL coming to Ottawa?
I mean, I'm loving it. I mean, loving seeing the women's sports teams in the city get time in the spotlight because they truly deserve it. For anyone who hasn't seen a PWHL Ottawa game, I highly recommend it. You won't regret it. I'm just excited for
more football in the community and more variety of football in the community. Again, I love the rule with kind of similar to the DP rule in MLS to go get that big fish that could really draw. I think it's wonderful. And I can't wait for Ottawa to dominate the entirety of Canadian footy.
Let's go. And you know, it's something that we really have to appreciate is that soccer is a community game first and foremost. And this is growing our community in a number of different ways. So I really hope that the NSL is coming in with that collaborative spirit that I think ATO has really embodied in coming to the capital and can continue to grow, you know, both teams respectively in their leagues and grow soccer in this city and in this country. I think it's a really great opportunity. Christian, what are your thoughts on the new NSL team coming to Ottawa?
You know, like Isaac mentioned, obviously the PWHL Ottawa had a great season this year and they attracted some world-class talent to their team. So despite the fact that we didn't make playoffs, it'll be an interesting draft this upcoming offseason. And hope to see more success on that end. But yeah, women's soccer in the city has always had an interesting history. I mean, obviously we hosted some games for the 2015 Women's World Cup, and those were quite highly attended, and I thought those were great. So, like I said, I mean, there's a lot of things to be said about the future of soccer, especially in this history with the dual market. So a lot of speculation that I won't get into, but I very much welcome the arrival of a franchise for women's football, professional football in Ottawa.
I want to see Quetzalcoatl brought home. You know, I'm a U Ottawa guy as much as the Carlton folks here might give me some crap for it, but she is a phenomenal forward that we really got to enjoy at U Ottawa in the women's program. So that I think is who I'm most excited for is those U Ottawa women who are working so hard and now have a pro team in their backyard that they can aspire to and kind of compete for. Bryce, what are your thoughts on the new league coming to Ottawa?
Oh, it's great. This new league is going to be great. It's important for solidifying the growth of the game in Canada. We have national teams that have been doing better than usual. We need those pipelines. We need those opportunities for women who are playing the sport, who are playing it at the young youth levels, that are going to school and playing here, and who are good enough to play at a higher level to be able to do that in their own country. You know, we don't need them now going to Europe where there's few spots for them, or going down to the States. There's room for a lot more of those players to be playing right here at home, getting that experience. And that means there's more girls that are growing up that are going to want to play. There'll be more of them that are interested in playing in their home markets. And just with the PWHL, that really tapped into to fans that were not fans of other sports in the city. There was a large contingency of Francophone women that were coming out to cheer for those games. I can see the same thing happening here with a women's soccer team. I think that those are fans that maybe aren't coming out for the Atletico games, or at least yet. But I think it's a new section of people in this city that are going to come out for a sporting event and hopefully help us grow football all around.
I agree, and I think it's about coming at a lot of these things from that collaborative spirit. And of course, you know, CCSG will be exploring how we can support the growth of this league as a supporters group and as an organization, as we, you know, learn more and as we explore what options there are. And at the end of the day, this is going to be a separate team with a separate league and likely new supporters coming out and building that culture. So we want to make sure that they have our support in doing so, and that we're a part of that, whatever that may look like in terms of actual, you know, boots on the ground work or what have you. So plenty more to discover there. Harry, I'll give you the last word on this new women's league, and then we will get to some score predictions and player predictions, or who we want to see on the field. So, Harry, take it away.
Yeah, Like, it's very rare in international sport, especially in soccer as well, where women are paid more than men. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. It's brilliant for someone who loves the sport and has a daughter and wants to see his daughter be able to enjoy a sport where she can see role models that are approachable to her and give her a pipeline into something that she would want to do. Sorry, did I say she wants to do? What I want her to do. There's a little bit of a difference there. I don't think these athletes are paid enough, but I think a rising tide floats all boats. So the growth of the women's game, the audience that that's going to get, I hope that helps build the men's game, and hope that the men's game helps build the women's game, and the same atmosphere and passion that we can bring to men's football, we can bring to women's football, and just create a stronger soccer culture in this city in general, which is absolutely what everyone in this Twitter space in this city wants to happen. I couldn't be happier for it.
All right, we've got the love fest through. We're so excited for this new league. You know, we're not worried at all about our opposition. We're going in feeling good. So, to end our show, let's wrap it up with some score predictions and who you want to see on the pitch this week. Let's hear it, Isaac. What is your score prediction, and who are you most looking forward to seeing?
So, I'm going to go with tomorrow night's contest first. I think it will be a 1-0 victory tomorrow night in Victoria. Then on the weekend, I'm going to keep with the clean sheet theme here and say we're going to win 2-0 to Halifax on the weekend. In terms of players, I'm looking forward to watch. Obviously, I hope Sacco gets in. I love his game so much. Kind of reminds you of Del Campo, I feel like. I feel like once he gets that monkey off his back, he'll be rolling. And as well as Lieberman Torres is finally in the capital, I would love to see him get on the pitch and make magic things happen for the good guys.
All right. Bryce, what are your score predictions for the two games, and who do you look forward to seeing on the pitch?
First, I think it's going to be a little bit until we see Lieberman play. I don't think he's game fit. I don't have any news on that. I'm just saying, based on the writing from last week, I'm just saying let's not expect to see him that quick. I'm going with a 2-1 win tomorrow. I think that Manny and Dinich are going to have big games. They're going back there, and I'm expecting Manny just ball out tomorrow. And then on the weekend, I'm saying we got another 3-0 win at home against Halifax. And in that game, I'm expecting Ruben to break that record and get a 6.
I love to hear it. Love to hear it. And honestly, you know, we got nearly 6,000 fans out for Toonie Hot Dog Day. I'm hoping we can pull them back out for another Sunday afternoon.
Sorry, John. I'm going to break in again, and I'm just going to remind everybody that the game on Sunday is our Pride game this year. That we've moved it. It's no longer lining up with Capital Pride later in the year, but it's coming at the beginning of Pride Month. So we're going to have a bunch of stuff going on in the dub and in the stadium for the Pride game. So make sure you're there for that. And we also have an official march going to the game this Sunday. So leaving Glebe Central Pub at 1 p.m. will be a march to the stadium for that 2 p.m. kickoff.
Thank you very much, Bryce. And another thing to note, as was announced today, $5 from every ticket sold will be going to supporting Pride charities in Ottawa. For more information, be sure to check out the Atletico Ottawa website for that phenomenal initiative that they are continuing to work hard to support organizations in our community. Anyhow, back to our score predictions. Harry, what are your score predictions for the two games, and who are you most looking forward to seeing?
So for the Pacific game, I think I'm going to go for a 2-0, but I think it's going to be one of those 2-0s whereby we score 2 in the first half and it's just Pacific off of nothing. And we just stay in third gear. And I think when the pundits are going to look back at that one, it's going to be like, you know, Ottawa never really were in any sort of danger of losing this game. And I think that's the sort of result it would be. I just don't think Pacific have any sort of ammunition to take this on. I think it's going to be a very comfortable 2-0. With regards to the Halifax game, I really think it depends on when we score. I think if it's a situation where we get an early penalty or something that's similar to the Valor game where we won 7-0, I think it could be an absolute grenade show this Sunday. I think it could be goals, 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 goals. I'm going to say at least 4-0 against Halifax. With regards to the players that I'm looking out for, I think against Pacific, I think Manny, just he has a bone. When he plays his old team, you could tell like there's like zero love lost between him and Pacific. He may love playing there, but he doesn't love playing. Like he has no sort of, he doesn't seem fond memories of that. He's true ATO now. And I think he's going to absolutely ball against them. And then on Sunday, I'm looking forward to more Antonoro. Antonoro against a team where they're sort of, their heads are down, their confidence is lost. I think he's going to run ragged against them.
You know, I always love that confidence, and I love Antonoro as well, someone I'm very much looking forward to seeing. But before we get to mine, let's go to you, Christian. What is your score prediction for the next few games, and who are you most looking forward to seeing on the pitch?
You know, I think this next game against Pacific is going to be a repeat of the game that we played against them in the league. It's going to be a 1-0 win. But the goal scorer is not going to be Ruben Del Campo. It's going to be Sammy Salter. Ruben Del Campo is going to start, but Sammy Salter is going to get the goal. And then on the weekend against Halifax, it's going to be 3-0. 2 for Sammy Salter, 1 for Ruben Del Campo. So on the weekday, I'm most excited to see Sammy Salter. No. Scratch that. Weekday, I'm most excited to see Ryan Yesley. Okay. And then on the weekend, most excited to see Sammy Salter, of course. He needs to get the goal this weekend. He boosts his confidence. It's going to be against his former side. He's going to score at least one. I know it's going to happen. So Ruben Del Campo is also going to score to break the record. 6 consecutive games in the league. So it's going to be him and Sammy Salter, but Sammy Salter is the most excited. I'm most excited to see.
You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's always good to have that strong hand on the rudder from the Sammy Salter fan club. Well, for me, I think it's going to be a very cagey 1-0 against Pacific. I think we're going to score early and hold on to it through the whole game with our butts firmly clenched at the GCP up until the end where we get to celebrate that passing into that semifinal round. Against Halifax, I think a 3-0 should be on the menu, and I'm hopeful that it will be in order to kind of repeat that and really get the crowd going again and reminding people why this is the best sporting event that this city has to offer despite having many others. Who am I most looking forward to seeing? I think it's hard not to say Manny Aparicio with his work rate. Same with Antonoro. Both of them work so hard on the pitch in terms of pace, in terms of getting back and defending. And making up for little mistakes. So I'm really looking forward to both of them. I'm hopeful that we'll see a little more of Sissoko as well. He had a good game against Forge, and I'm hopeful that he'll have another one against both Halifax and Pacific. And, of course, the Ginger Prince of Ottawa, Ollie Bassett, had some great service to Zapatero, and I'm hoping that he can continue that and to build. And with that, that is our show. Be sure to follow up on all.
Hold on, John. I want to point out that a Wednesday game with a watch party at GCP, you should get there a couple hours early because at GCP, a Wednesday night is also open mic night. So get there a couple hours early, enjoy some music, and then watch the game with us.
There we go. Always on me for those little announcements to make sure you don't miss anything. And if you don't want to miss anything and be in all the know, be sure to follow us on all our socials at Capital City SG. Tons of news and content and little nuggets dropped by the president himself. So be sure to follow us on that so you don't miss a beat.
And if you are not a member yet, become one by visiting capitalcitysupporters.com. Remember, it's 20 for the year and 15 if you're a student. You'll get access to member-exclusive events, merch, road trip, and the Discord where you'll find out news first. And be sure, if you are a member, to check our membership page on our website and our announcement channel on the Discord.
While you're on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writer team. We have the Forward Pressed, which gives you all the insights from pre- and post-game pressers, match day in review for all those games that you want to relive or that you miss, and, of course, our weekly player ratings so you can see how each player did on the day. While you're there, be sure to check out the ATO After the Whistle podcast. The best way to spend your Tuesday mornings is by listening to our beloved hosts break down the past week's Atletico Ottawa game. Of course, there was no episode today. You'll have to wait till Friday for that, where they will cover both the Forge game and the Pacific Can Champ game in a double feature. So be sure to look out Friday for a special feature on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
And lastly, don't forget GCP is your home for pre- and post-game drinks after a day of football. Join us at 779 Bank Street for a watch party tomorrow night as the boys try to punch their ticket to the Can Champ semifinals. That's Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Or come continue these conversations with a drink before the Halifax game. That is Glebe Central Pub, CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season at Ottawa's Temple of Football.
The march will be leaving at 1 p.m. from the Glebe Central Pub, so be sure to get there early if you're coming down on Sunday to join us in celebrating a community that gets a lot of hate and continuing to grow this beautiful game and our community. Also be on the lookout for episodes of CCFG's latest show, Full Time, which is available on our YouTube channel, chronicling the reactions of ATO fans after every home match. Join Harry, as heard today, who is very relaxed, to share your thoughts after the game Sunday under the Jumbotron.
And with that, all that being said, that wraps up today. Thank you so much for listening and joining in on the fun. We hope to hear again from you next week. And that just about does it. John, you know the drill.
Yep. And thank you to all of our speakers. We hope that we will have you again soon. And if you didn't get a chance to speak, please feel free to speak up next week. We'd love to hear more voices. Let's go get these points and let's go get to that semifinal. Vamos Atleti! Bubba, 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 bubba.